love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings to the automatically deleted husband, and obviously this has gone on for a long time. You know, one of my assumptions have been for a long time is the likelihood of that I'll ever see my wife and kids again for the rest of my life is pretty small. And this is kind of reinforcing that idea. Yeah, well, that brings up, I didn't get the photos till this weekend. But back in May, Chris and I walked a place here called Fletcher Park. And there's a building on it that was used for whatever kind of purpose. It's kind of a, you know, processing or whatever from long ago. And now it has a bunch of graffiti on it and whatnot. And we walked around it and noticed inside a photo. We took a photo of it. Till death do we part. And so because there's water on the floor and whatnot, I got near it. Chris handed me his camera since I don't carry one. I took a picture of that close. Then he took a picture of me standing there. So that idea is something that, my wife made that kind of promise, but you know, promises, what does it matter? We don't keep the promise, do we? Keep the promise. We don't have to do that. Nah. There has been a little frustration in me. You know, a lot of things didn't come together Friday. And so Saturday morning, I started the day and I'm saying, okay, mentally, I was struggling. So, you know, one of the things I try to do is push myself mentally. Push myself towards obedience to Christ. And sometimes it's hard. So the other thing I try to do is push myself physically, obviously in walking and jumping jacks. So I do my morning 512, and I was getting around 300, 400, whatnot. And I said, because of my frustration level, I'm not going to do 512. I did 1,024, which, you know, getting up to that, saying, do I really want to do this? Because when you get to that point, you actually work up a bit of a sweat. But I did that in order to break the physical decline, saying, given up, saying, okay, I'm not going to give up physically, in order to encourage me not to give up mentally. Maybe it helped. I did have a better day than I expected. But a couple of interesting things happened. One, I went to the farmer's market. I met some new people. And one gentleman I talked with for a while, and he's doing leather work himself. He was doing it right there. And so I bought a new wallet after the first time. After he was selling little small wallets for $60. And I said, well, that's out of my price bracket. And he says, I have a second here. I'll sell you for $15. Kind of like, okay. So I have a new wallet now. But we had a dialogue. His name is Luke. See, that's the difference between Walmart and the farmer's market. You know, you go by first names. We talked about a variety of things. He teaches special ed in Chattanooga, and he's off for the summer, and he teaches a lot of people from Guatemala. We talked a lot about that. We talked about cultures and things of that nature. So it was an interesting conversation. And you know, we talked about the fact that, well, it somehow, I don't remember how, but obviously it came up that I walk and whatnot. And oh no, it wasn't that. He, you know, we talked, somehow his wife came up. She said something like his wife will be there most of the time, but today she's out running because she enjoys running. And how it came up, I'm not sure, but he said she actually ran for the first time in a 5K race sometime in October or November, and it was for this group that here in town, and you know, he was stumbling over that, and I said, October, and it's Willabend Farms. <He's>, yes. And that really, you know, there were 98 runners won Race Walker. And I've met three of them at the farmer's market, plus myself. It's that was interesting. I guess it was Saturday. You know, there's this Plandemic series that started a long time ago. And they were actually pretty good. They're a bit on the sensational side, but they're still pretty good, pretty solid. The third one came out, The Great Awakening. And obviously it's on Kozlowska.org because it was free to download. It's kind of like, oh, okay, well, I've got it. You know, which I appreciate the idea we're pushing it out because the objective is not you got to come to us. We want to get the information out. And I appreciate that. So I did watch it. I watched it Saturday and Sunday. It was too long to watch one sitting. But two things about it. One was the guy who did all three of these. He obviously appears in it a lot. And I can't remember his name, but anyway. he talked about his history, his growing up, his attitude, and his embrace of, well, he was part of the Bernie Sanders campaign because he thought he was doing the right thing. And over time, he realized, wait a minute, we're pushing communism. And he said, it was hard to realize, I forget how he said it, I was wrong. And, you know, for somebody, especially someone who is doing stuff in public like that, to say, look, I promoted this. He did a bunch of the videos. He did a bunch of the promotion of Bernie Sanders. And now says, I was wrong. That alone, even if he went off on a different wrong direction, to me, to be able to say that, say, look, I was doing this and I was wrong, that was marvelous. So the first probably two-thirds of it I thought was actually very good, very solid information. The last roughly third quarter, whatever, got a little sensational, I think. But, you know, still, it gets more eyeballs, you know. It's the great camera work and so forth, and it does get more eyeballs when you add a little sensationalism to it. But what I found interesting is a good part of it, especially at the end, was showing a video from, 1968? G. Edward Griffin. And the video is called The Grand Design, World Government, which is something he did, again, in 1968. I was a young lad at the time, and he's still around. You know, it's interesting because, one of the artistic things they did is they showed him making a statement back from the 68 and then did a transition from him finishing the sentence this year because, you know, he's like 87 or whatever. You know, he's still around, and so am I, by the way. You know, again, that was artistic, and he talked about a lot of things where I disagree with G. Edward Griffin and probably this the gentleman he says the problem obviously we have the problem with the government. And it was the idea that's constantly promoted, limited government, and I was there. And, you know, to use those words, I was wrong. Because again, and it goes back to, yes, there's the Deuteronomy 17, the first Samuel 8, whatnot, but I do think the fundamental is Genesis 1, where God delegates to man to be the overlord of the earth, plants, and animals, but not over another man. And again, it's repeated over and over again throughout the scripture. But so they talked about limited government and our efforts need to be local. And I agree, our efforts need to be local, but not local government. But that's, anyway, so I thought it's very good. It was well done. And so I recommend it. And of course, all three of them, you know, this is Plandemic 3. So all three of them are on Kozlowska.org. But they showed snippets from the grand design. I've had that for years. So it's now on, you know, it's now available on Kozlowska.org also. And of course, the advantage with my technique is you don't need a tool. Like I use some tools to download. This is, you download straight in your browser. There's nothing special required. So if you want your own copy of it, it's easy. But anyway, I found that fascinating and I recommend it. And I do very much recommend the grand design. He also, and I don't have him on there yet. I have some other things that he did and other things. He talked about cancer, for example, and he talked about something else. Anyway, I think, and the thing that's interesting, and of course my wife would remember this, right? Yes, anyway. When we were in Salt... Northeast Alabama. Anyway, we're in Northeast Alabama. I had an dialogue with G. Edward Griffin as I was trying to promote this stuff. So that was many years ago. So, you know, stamina. But one other thing. I'm struggling. I did not get any notice of my cards yet. And I'm troubled. I'm troubled. I'm struggling with attitudes. And it was great to have a dialogue with Chris today because there was a bunch of encouragement in our dialogue. And again, the encouragement of a friend is marvelous. One of the things we discussed is because one constant theme for me is Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. It is a petition to the Lord. I don't want to go astray. I want to do things that the Lord says you're doing well. And without his control of me, I won't. And so we celebrated that. But also in our dialogue, the normal thing, we go to the verse before. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless, innocent of great transgression. Allow me to read that in the LSV. Also, keep back your servant from presumptuous ones. Do not let them rule over me. Then I am perfect and declared innocent of much transgression. You know, the thing is that is a little odd is also from presumptuous sins in the ESV. Let's see, the NASB was your servant from presumptuous, and then sins is italicized. It's just presumptuous. Because the LSV, presumptuous ones, there's an implication because the idea in the Septuagint is the aliens, or aliens is the translation, one belonging to another. And I think that adds some clarity. It's keep me from those that belong to another. In other words, they're not, they don't belong to the Lord. They belong, you know, who else do you belong to? The devil. And so why do we have the presumptuous sins? You know, and because when I checked, even The Hebrew means arrogant, proud, insolent, presumptuous. So why sins? It seems more it's talking about people. That is an interesting thing. I don't have a solid answer on this, but do not let them rule over me. And, as you may expect, because I talk about Genesis 1 to be the overlord, the kata kurio, do not let them be rule over me, have dominion over me, or rule over me, whatever. It's kata kurio. It's that same idea. We do not rule over another man, and we don't want, especially the world, to rule over us. And I think, so the question is, is it the presumptuous ones? Are we talking about people? And do not let them rule over me? Is it we don't want them? We ask that the world does not rule over me. Because the ESV, keep your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Let them, are we talking about sins as in my personal sins? Let my temptation to sin not rule over me? Or is it presumptuous sins is just simply presumptuous or the arrogant? Are we talking about people and let them not rule over me? So this is interesting, and I'm not going to bet my life on this, but I find this interesting. I actually studied that a couple years ago, but anyway. But one last thought, and I think this impacts the relationship with my wife and so many other people. Chris was talking with his mom. He goes to visit his mom. She's 80. And something came up. I forget how it came up. But about a... it was somebody's family photo or whatever. And one of them was overtly homosexual in the photo. You could see that. And there was a dialogue about how we wouldn't want that, we don't want that to be reflected in our family, those kind of things. And Chris made a remarkable point, I thought. If you have the guy in the coat and tie, I used to be, successful in business, I used to be, but had a lust for that, what's the difference between that and the homosexual? We'll reject this guy who is blatantly obvious in his dress and whatnot. But the guy in the coat and tie who has a lust for the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, we'll take him because he looks good, makes our family look good. I think it's a fascinating thought. I still have in the back room my tuxedo. I have one jacket. I may have two. I may only have one jacket. A lot of, long sleeve shirts, button down collars and whatnot. I have several of those back there. Haven't worn them in years. And, I used to be the guy driving the brand new BMW or the Mercedes or the Lexus or the Suburban. I had the right look, Sunday morning coat and tie. And I had too much of a passion for this world. Again, one of the things that I think it was going somewhat the day I stood on the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange, but it felt good still to be there and know that I literally made $1 million from Wall Street, but selling electronics to them. It felt good. But I also saw the emptiness there, literally there. And, to fly to Europe, to get a phone call, can you be here tomorrow? You know, come to Czechoslovakia tomorrow. Kind of like, to have that desire from it makes you feel significant. It's kind of like, was it 2 years ago when I walked the Greenway and the guy who was like 3 years old, but not Oscar, held out his hand to me and we walked for about 5 minutes together hand in hand. That was more important than flying to Europe or going to the New York Stock Exchange. By far. And, I'm not a homosexual. I'm a heterosexual. I'm a monogamous heterosexual. I have one woman that I have a passion for. And it's still there. And it's to her and her alone. I do not waver on this. But I'm obviously a bad person because I'm no longer making a six-figure income. I'm no longer driving a fancy car. I don't drive a car at all. So obviously I'm a bad person now, aren't I? I don't bring... it was so easy to make six figures. It's easy to make six figures working with people who did this. The collateral murder stuff. I worked with them. No, I'm sorry, I can't go there. And if I'm a bad person from that, if I have to be rejected for that, my guess is there's a really strong likelihood I will not see my wife and kids for the rest of my life, will I? Because the Lord has drawn me closer to Him. And the idea that keep me from presumptuous sins or presumptuous ones, the arrogant, let them not be my overlord. That's a big deal. I wish it was shared by my wife. Oh, I'm sorry. Perhaps one of the biggest things I completely forgot about. Saturday night. Oh. Guess where I went? Klingon Ridge Baptist Church. They had a gathering. And this is plastic tech. They had a gathering, and I went. It may have been 30 or 40 people. It wasn't that much. Maybe 50 people. A lot of little kids and older adults, a whole bunch of them older than me. Stuff in the middle was very limited, which I found interesting. And I did try to engage some people. There was a guy there who had some animals there to allow, kind of a portable petting zoo. And I did talk with him. That was great. He had an alpaca. He had some chickens, some ducks, some goats. It was so fascinating. The one goat, he was sitting in a chair, and the goat was there, and his leg was like this, and the goat's head was, he pushed against the leg. I've seen that before. Because there's that emotional tie, which I found fascinating to watch that. But those kind of things were interesting. But I got into a dialogue with two gentlemen. One was only secondary, but one was more significant. And it was, do you believe in Christ? Well, that's all that matters. And try to go in a little more depth. No, we don't do that. Oh, please come join us. And I said, well, basically, I said, I can't. I follow the Acts 20:20 model, the James 1:27 model, and so forth. And it was pushed a little bit, and it was, well, you know, I don't see a model of meeting like this. And, you know, so it did go further. He pulled me in a little bit, and then, of course, I stepped in quite willingly. Because we got to the importance of the Sunday morning fellowship, and I asked, where do you find that in the Bible? And, you know, he did do what, he did say, he didn't say where, but he did say we're called to gather together. And I said, yes, Hebrews 10:25. And it's episynagoge gate. Why don't you call this place a synagogue instead of a church? And the model there is to meet at homes. You see that over and over again. I brought that up. And, you know, he did go about the elders. And I said, yeah, elders, somebody who's older. And, because he got on to, we're supposed to have elders, just like you see. Because I said, elder is you age into it. You're not voted into it. It's not an office. And he said that, he said it was just like you see in Acts. And what he was referring to is how it was elected. Elders were elected. And of course, elders are not elected in Acts. But what I wonder if he was referring to, because I did some study on this too, so I'm sorry, I'm getting so long. Acts 1, you had the 12 apostles. One of them had an unfortunate demise. So the 11 gathered. And, it's interesting that Acts 1:20, for it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate, may there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. And you say, oh, well, look, office. It's the episcope, which is a duty, not an office. I've been through that from the Titus and Timothy. So obviously I didn't engage this gentleman on that. But you can understand, it seems quite rational, where the apostles, the 11, and there's actually a gathering of a whole bunch of others, 100 and whatever. They would say, all right, we need to replace this person because someone else is supposed to take over. And it's supposed to be someone that was a witness and so forth. So they got it down to two people, and they said, it's one of these two people. And what's interesting, ESV, and they cast lots for them. And the question is, we did a little study, and I don't have a good answer on this, because casting lots can be seen in two ways. One is the idea of you have two different items, stones, pieces of wood, some of that nature, that identify the two people. And you put them like in a bag, shake it up, and pull one out. And that's kind of the random selection, random from man's point of view. The other way to see it is everybody has a stone, a pebble, a piece of wood. And you take yours to put it into a bag, whatever, in order to say, I vote for this person. And so you can see that both possibilities seem to fit the scenario. If there is something specific in the language that says one or the other, I don't know. But I would suggest, at least you can see loosely, that both possibilities are there. And, you know, and what it seems more interesting is, does it matter? Because Matthias was chosen. You see Matthias mentioned twice, in verse 23 and verse 26, and never again. So there seems to be two possibilities. One, he is indeed one of the, then back to 12, or he was not ordained by the Lord as that role, and he becomes a non-issue. What happened to him? I have no idea. But there's the other side. Paul, who was definitely somebody that this group would have said, no, this guy's coming to kill us. We don't want him. And that's the one the Lord chose. It's similar to, go to all these big, strong guys in this family, and you get the little kid, David, who became king. So it's the parents by man versus the way the Lord chooses. And, you know, again, I would contend it's consistent with the Deuteronomy 17. You may indeed set a king over you, king or ruler, whom the Lord your God will choose. So you say, oh, we want a king, the 1 Samuel 8, yeah. And you say, well, you don't get a choice. You want a king, I'm going to give you one for my purposes. You know, which again, I would say is that's why when you read the Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. And those have been instituted by God. It's not that God says, go set up one. It's you've asked for one, I'm going to set one up for my purposes. Again, this is why, like he, for example, raised the Chaldeans to chastise his people. Anyway, though I find these things, these things are fascinating. You have this gentleman used the idea that what we see in Acts is the election of an elder. No, it isn't. No, I'm sorry. An elder is somebody who's older. This is an election of an apostle, which is slightly different. Somebody's apostle off stand. Anyway. And of course, there's questions. Is it just the 12? Are there, you know, later apostles, whatnot? That's a different argument. I would suggest there are the 12. And that included Judas at one time, and he was replaced by Paul, not Matthias. My assumption, you know, again, I will say that's the probability. Because obviously, Paul wrote a good part of the New Testament. So, you know, but anyway, that was one of the issues. He did bring up the tithe. He just mentioned that you know, we offer have our tithes and offerings. And I said, the tithe is theft. And because the tithe is theft. Because I said specifically, the tithe is food for the Levite. You cannot demonstrate that your pastor or anybody in your staff is a Levite. And you're not giving them food. So if you are asking for or even suggesting a tithe, you're a thief. I think that's unambiguous. That didn't go over well. We did talk about the expense of the building and whatnot. And it's our choice kind of thing. This is what we choose to do because we want to collect our money because we could do more good together to pay the banks for our mortgage. But I didn't hit that one. I didn't say that one. Anyway, I do think, you know, did point out, he did talk about the sermon, and I asked him, do you call the pastor a teacher? And he says, oh, yes. And I said, you know, Jesus says, call no man teacher directly. And his response was, well, you're just picking out one verse. And then later he quoted John 3:16. It's kind of like, but then there was the effort to shut me down. The polite, good to see you, let's shake hands and let's end this. And it went on still a little while. But I was struggling because, again, the Philonikos idea just is, it's forefront in my mind. But it was done. I left. I went home. And I started to wonder. And, you know, I asked the Lord, where did I go wrong? Where did I go wrong in what I did? And then it hit me. Maybe inspired, but whatever. The question is, did I do right? And that's been, I've been struggling with that. I even asked Chris that Sunday, I think. Did I do right? And he was more inclined to think I did right. Because I do think, you know, again, it goes back to the idea of struggle to enter the narrow gate. Because the narrow gate and the wide gate is talking about those who claim Christ and those who Christ claim. Again, look at that in context, that's clear. When you belong to an institution, and, you know, I did bring up, you know, the John 3 16, you know, who believe, but believe, faith, trust. It's, you know, the same pistis, pithio, and so forth. It's the same root. And what is it really? Is it a mental assent? Oh, I believe it's a nice day. Or is it trust? And I would suggest, look at the definition of the word. Yeah, I trust in the Lord, which is consistent with, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Oh, no, excuse me. I misquoted that, isn't it? It's trust in the state with all your heart, isn't it? Proverbs 1984. Anyway, it's a trust. And, you know, we continued on, you know, the 2 Corinthians 5 about, you know, it's Christ gets rid of the barrier. For all, there is no barrier. So, see, and I didn't ask this, but the Muslim believes in Jesus. Because the Quran talks about Jesus, his role, and his return. You know, he's coming again, according to the Quran. It's the wrong Jesus. And it's not trusting that a human, only human, is coming again, but it's our Creator coming again. It's radically different. So what's the difference between someone in the institutional church who's trusting in basically the same Christ as the Quran? Anyway, getting real long. I figured I didn't have much for today because I did have an interesting weekend, but I can push myself physically, and I'm grateful for that. And I do that because I know as soon as I stop, I will probably collapse. Pushing myself mentally is much harder, a whole lot harder. I've gotten in the habit of saying, okay, things are not clear. Let me do some things that is clear, and it's a little more light and fluffy stuff, but I need to get it done, even though it doesn't have to be done now, but I need to get it done out of the way so that when my mind is clear, I can work better. That's been my habit, which is kind of what I did today, but anyway. I'm really struggling mentally because of the censorship, the lack of those cards, lack of this communication that I have with people. And the place I find the greatest joy when I meet people really is the farmer's market. Because I met, one other thing there. Two farmers that I've known for at least a year, if not a couple years. And they had beets there, both of them. One of them said to me, and he's roughly my age. You know, I've never eaten one of these raw before. Sell them. Grow them and sell them. I've never had one raw. And he did it for the first time. And he said, you know, they're good. And the guy next to him also selling one. And so what the one guy did, he took it, cut it up, handed it to the other guy and said, you're right. These are good. Which I found fascinating. Farmers. And they're never ready to beat. You know, and that's what I do. I go, I've bought them from at least three, if not four different vendors, and they have a different taste. It's interesting. They do have a different taste because, you know, the ground is different and whatnot. But anyway, to meet people there, to interact with them, to encourage them. I did meet a couple there. Met her for the first time. She was selling granola that she makes, and I declined. I said, I've been off of sugar for 10 years. And she said, she would like to, but but she said she's dropped it a lot. But it looked like she had a real good stuff, and we talked a bit. And then she brought up a little issue that she's dying of cancer. And it's kind of like, but then, oh, here comes my husband. And so the three of us had a delightful dialogue for a good 10, 15 minutes. Delightful dialogue. What I saw between those two is something I thought I used to see between my wife and myself. I saw love. This man loves this lady. It's unambiguous. That was very, very clear. And the lady loves her man. It was marvelous to see. When I see that in others, I celebrate. Because it's not the norm. I hope to see them again. I hope to encourage them again. Got to encourage somebody. My lady, my wife. Ridiculous video. I love you and I want you back.